You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. There's obviously a difference between being ripped off when you buy something and paying enough to allow the person who's selling it to make a reasonable profit. But how can we know which it is? Take rail fares. The Times showed this week that millions of customers are being overcharged because the rail operators don't always tell us what the cheapest fares are on any given route, even though they have an obligation to do so. I spoke about it to Jacqueline Starr, the Managing Director of Customer Experience at the Rail Delivery Group, which represents the rail industry, and here's part of what she said.
The fares are constructed in the way they are is because of market demand. Those fares are set up to offer customers the fares that they're asking for through routes.
So sorry, people ask for a dearer fare than they could otherwise get. No, I simply don't believe that.
As I've highlighted, that the fares themselves are constructed based on the demand of that particular route. So an A to B route as opposed to a composite route, which is perhaps several different journeys.
Well, let's talk about that with Dr. James Intilligator, who's a Professor of Innovation and Consumer Psychology at Bangor University, and Jasmine Birtle, who's with me in the studio. She's a founder of Money Magpie, that's a consumer and finance website. Jasmine, this whole business of being ripped off or what? I mean, are we prepared to be, let's put the word in quotes, ripped off if we reckon actually in other ways there's justifications for it?
Well, I don't think anybody's ever happy about being ripped off.
That's the wrong phrase.
Yeah, but, well, I think that when it comes to flights and train journeys, I think people accept the fact that if you book early, you're likely to get the cheaper flights or rail fares. That's a sort of a norm. And the closer it gets to it, you think, okay, it's getting tougher. They've sold their cheap lot, so it's getting more expensive. We accept that. What we don't accept is what I have experienced myself. When you go and actually look for a train fare or a flight on a comparison site or whatever, and you suddenly realise that the more you look, the more expensive it gets. And I've had this experience where I looked for on a comparison site for train fares, and I looked for something to Manchester. On one day, I saw a ticket for £80. The second day, it had gone. Whereas somebody else who was looking at exactly the same thing, exactly the same time, saw that £80 ticket. So when you actually have that experience that one person at the same time is seeing one amount and you're seeing another amount, then you think, oh, hold on a minute.
Right. And James, it is not disingenuous, is it, to get annoyed at companies who justify what they're doing by saying, well, you know, we've got to make a profit.
No, I don't think it's disingenuous at all, John. I think that you know, part of this is probably around their desire to make profit, but I'm afraid that probably part of it is also just poorly designed software. You know, they're not great at finding the best deals, which is really shocking in this day and age. You know, the computers can kind of do anything. You'd think that they would look for ways to optimize. But the other side of it is, I think, that consumers also really are, you know, they're looking for a deal, but they're also willing to go a little bit out of their way to get a cheaper deal as well, as long as they know it. It's all about them being aware of what they're getting into. They don't like to feel that they're being misled or that they're being taken advantage of.
Yeah, and I think that this whole thing about the technology, it's really extra clever technology that annoys us. When that technology, and they use cookies, as you know, which are like sort of our footprints. When you use a computer to search something, we leave footprints. And the algorithms in the computers, they can, in the websites, they can work out if your footprint's been there two or three times, so you look keen, so you're willing to pay a bit more. And that's the worrying side, really, that there are quite a few of these websites can do that.
And James, the insurance companies, for instance, who charge you more money for your loyalty, if you stuck with them for a couple of years insuring your car or whatever, they'll charge you more next time rather than less.
Yeah, they sometimes do that. I mean, part of that is also just comparison. You know, they're charging you more in comparison to their new customers who they're trying to pull in. I think that's
you know, a rip-off.
Yeah, and long-term-wise, that's really a bad idea because it definitely does not build loyalty. As soon as people find out, they become incredibly outraged. I mean, that's really what it's about, is the consumers being at the center of the decision-making. Nowadays, that's the biggest trend in kind of consumer psychology in my world. For
But are we at that? How do we do it? I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, how do we get to that position of power or relative power?
Well, in some sense, we're already there, and it's up to the companies. Yeah, it's up to the companies to really try to bend their services, offerings, et cetera, to meet our central point.
And if they don't, if they tell us to get stuffed,
then they're basically, the technical term is screwed. I mean, you know, consumers are very happy to walk around, to their competitors nowadays. It's very easy to comparison shop, you know, the websites and things like that make it incredibly simple to just compare.
But if you're being misled by a rail company as to the cheapest fare from A to B, then that's it. You're misled.
That is true, yeah, and that's unbelievable that they would sort of allow this to happen at such a mass scale. Again, I'm not sure how much of it was intentional. You know, in terms of benefit of the doubt, you might think that it is just poorly designed software. You'd think that some clever computer scientist would have realized that there is alternative routes that might be cheaper.
Jasmine, are we feeling our power now? Is the consumer beginning to feel, you know, I can change these things?
Yeah, some are. Certainly some are, some aren't. I think we're in a transition stage where you have a lot of consumers, particularly younger ones who've grown up with computers, and it's just and comparisons indeed, and it's just the norm. Of course you're not going to be loyal, of course you're going to be shopping around, but there are still a number of people who frankly don't want to, and they just look, just give me the price, you know, give me the proper price. I don't want to have to
the proper price. But that's exactly. That's the thing, isn't it? That's the problem. What is the proper price?
Well, exactly, what is it? And that has it ever been, really? You know, the proper price is what people are willing to pay for, but of course the more consumers that are willing to shop around are willing to say, no, that's not good enough, actually I am going to go elsewhere, and oh yes,
well, that is hell of a monotony. Yes, well, that's exactly. That doesn't have to end it there, I'm afraid. Jasmine Birtles, James in Trilligator, thank you both very much. You can listen to more free content from the Today program by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.